You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ethiopia is home to one of the world's oldest Christian cultures, a unique hybrid of African, Semitic, and Byzantine traditions. It's the focus of a new exhibition called Angels of Light, Ethiopian art from the Walters Art Museum, featuring religious objects spanning 15 centuries. The show opens today at the Museum of Biblical Art, and I'm very pleased it has brought Dr. Gary Vikan, director of the Walters Museum, to my show. Hello. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
So how did a museum in Baltimore come to have the largest collection of Ethiopian art outside of Addis Ababa?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that we have the second or third best collection of medieval art generally, so it's on a good platform.
And you call this medieval art?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely medieval. I was a Byzantinist. I studied medieval Greek culture as a graduate student. I went to Dumbarton Oaks, a Harvard research center in Washington. In the context of doing that, I got acquainted with a lot of different facets of orthodoxy in the medieval world, and made a lot of friendships. So when I came to the Walters Art Museum as director, in fact, even before I was director, when I was chief curator, some friends came to me and said, let's do a show of Ethiopian Christian art. None has ever been done. And it eventually appeared in the fall of 1993, just about the point I became director. It was called African Zion. It was a great hit, very exciting show. I'd never seen this material before myself, close up and personal. And it was out of that that we got the idea of starting to collect.
Well, there are a lot of Ethiopians in Washington, D.C.
Very
large
community.
It's one of the centers, and a fair amount in Baltimore as well. Mm-hmm. So you must have also received some support from that community.
Oh, we did. And it was interesting because when the show appeared, it was understood at first to be a kind of manifestation of Ethiopian political agenda. So there was a kind of tension, as you may understand, which I think still exists in the expatriate community. And so we became right, kind of a flashpoint for all of that.
Well, at that time, Mengistu was still in power, wasn't
no,
he?
No, he just left.
But
he was
there, that had been, he had been there for the Red Terror, and
he
I
had.
Imagine that that the religious aspect of this art perhaps had not been appreciated.
No, well, what happens is, that is true, but also in a country that has a very strong a sense of national identity, a small country, a country whose boundaries are their own. They give expression to their lives through their language, their culture, and especially the visual material arts. And I've seen this in other countries in the world as well. It means a lot more to them than almost anything, perhaps with the exception of the Statue of Liberty and the Declaration of Independence.
Now, this is being shown at the Museum of Biblical Art,
right,
which gives it a religious aspect. But religious art is usually shown in museums as art that just happens to have a religious theme.
Right.
How would you categorize this? Religious art? African art?
It's
hybrid
the,
art?
It's the art of orthodoxy, and by that I mean the same kind of orthodoxy that is the Christianity of Russia, of Greece, of Romania, of Bulgaria, of Georgia.
And how does that connect
Armenia.
To Ethiopia?
Well, very simply, Ethiopia was among the first three national identities to be Christianized in the early 4th century, along with, actually, but Georgia, Armenia, Byzantium, and that was Constantine the Great, and then Ethiopia and the Horn of Africa was Christianized directly out of Syria and the area of what is now Israel. And they were the first nation state to put the cross on their coinage before Constantine did, which is quite amazing and quite surprising. So they've been Christian for all of this time, and the tradition is uninterrupted.
But wasn't Ethiopia a Jewish kingdom before it became Christianized?
Oh, it had a very strong Jewish quality to it, yes, absolutely. So their Christianity has flavors of Judaism that do not exist in other branches of Orthodoxy.
And I don't know if there's any historical evidence to the story that the first king of Ethiopia was the son of the biblical King Solomon.
Yes. Well, there is. If you read the Old Testament carefully, there's a point in which the Ark of the Covenant seems to disappear. And a very old legend puts it in the hands of the Queen of Sheba, the Sheba being the Cushite kingdom and that being connected to Ethiopia. And pretty soon the legend is that it exists in Aksum.
Was there a significant amount of secular art produced in Ethiopia during the span of the show, the 4th through the 19th centuries?
No. And you could say that almost about France between the 4th and the 16th century or 15th century. In other words, there are parts of the world which continue a more or less medieval approach to their religious expression to this day. And parts of Greece are even like that. Parts of Romania, Bulgaria, and Russia are like that. So that in a way it's belonging to that tradition. You know, we are we are so persuaded about the Renaissance and somehow the transformation of the 15th into the 16th century in Italy and in a different form of realism in the north of Europe that provided a kind of boundary between things of the past and things going toward the future. But in these cultures, the ones to which I've just referred, there wasn't that break.
In Europe, the Catholic Church funded monasteries, and wealthy patrons would sponsor the work of artists and craftsmen, at least from the late medieval time on. Mm-hmm. What about in Ethiopia? How was religious art produced?
Well, much of it is monastic. Some of it comes out of the court. 15th century especially, there was a very strong movement to celebrate the cult of the Virgin. So some spectacular Madonnas, what we would call in the Western tradition Madonna or Virgin and Child imagery comes out of that.
Well, the Marian cult actually develops fairly late in Europe. Around the same time in Ethiopia?
Yes. In fact, it would be very interesting if you were to juxtapose an early Italian panel painting of the Virgin and Child with one from Ethiopia, with one from Byzantium. By the way, Byzantium had a cult of the Virgin going back to the 6th century.
So there was obviously a lot of exchange of ideas.
Right.
We tend to think of places as being isolated. I'm assuming that there also was the influence of local art traditions that had nothing to do with Christianity,
and
maybe later when Islamic art became a major part of the area, did that also affect what we see here?
It must have. I mean, you wouldn't even have to know that such indigenous qualities existed. All you have to do is juxtapose Ethiopian manifestations of Christian culture with those from Byzantium and those from Italy and those from any of the other neighboring Orthodox cultures. Egypt, the Coptic Church, for example. Somehow the Ethiopians come up with something that's absolutely distinctively their own. And one of the most amazing manifestations of that, and I love the title of the show here with angels in it, because you'll find that the angels' wings in Ethiopian art will often be tricolored. And by that I mean each successive feather has a different color from the one before it. So they kind of vibrate visually in a very, very dynamic way.
This is a graphic style that almost looks like cartooning on some level, it depends very heavily online.
Oh, it does, and I think you're very perceptive to see that. In a way, you can imagine the world of medieval Greek culture is one still anchored in the Acropolis. It seems strange, but in the 12th century, when those great icons that the Met has shown in the last several years coming from Mount Sinai, when you look at them, you're still seeing through a glass darkly, a kind of homage to the Parthenon. That does not characterize the two other great iconic traditions that are quite distinctive. One in the Slavic North, and that's Russia, and then one in the Horn of Africa, and that's Ethiopia. And both, as you say, are much more graphic, much more color-defined than they are shape and modeling-defined.
My guest is Dr. Gary Vikan, director of the Walters Museum. Work from the Walters is being now shown at the Museum of Biblical Art at 1865 Broadway. That's at 65th Street under the title Angels of Light. Are there any masterpieces in this exhibit?
There's one that I'm especially fond of, which is from the mid to later 15th century. As you come into the gallery, and by the way, this show is spectacular, beautifully installed, very sensitively installed, two enormous photographs from Ethiopia that help situate you there, kind of in your own head. But there's one just to the left as you walk in, a diptych that shows the Virgin and Child on the left, and then all of the apostles on the right. And the colors in there are amazing. There is nothing that will prepare a visitor for that. It is not like anything they shall ever have seen.
Well, this show spans quite a few centuries. Is there a certain kind of consistency of vision?
Absolutely. I mean, as you travel through the show, you'll become acquainted with Gondrin style and Gundegunde style and early Gondrin and late Gondrin as being one distinct slightly from the other. And you can see change over time as you can in any culture that has a kind of continuity of internal development. But that change is so small by comparison to the thread that unites the entire tradition.
In a way, more like what happened in Egypt than what happened in Greece.
I think that's probably fair to say.
Because in Egypt, even though we see changes from one century to the other, in the end, there's a very strong through line.
Yes, there is. A very strong, very strong. And you can imagine seeing those pyramids through century after century. There's something very dominant. And in Greece, in a way, the Acropolis still kind of defines national life. There's one other thing about Ethiopian Christian art that is absolutely distinctive, and that's their approach to the cross. You know, a cross is just the intersection, in theory, of two lines. But they elaborate it, in a way, with loops and turns and twists and little pirouettes of metal in a way that nobody else has ever done.
In fact, the tops are circular.
Yes. And they all have loops on the bottom, a little kind of double loop left and right, because the crosses are supposed to be dressed. Mm. And by dressed, I mean a textile is looped through them. And the way the crosses are shown in the show has the textile and a staff on them, and they look quite dramatic.
Were they held during procession?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely critical in procession.
Now, the collection stops in the 19th century. Have the 20th and 21st centuries been less artistically fruitful?
No, not at all. In fact, they are. The Ethiopian Christians are the only facet of Christianity that I know of that continue to produce manuscripts, illuminated manuscripts of sacred texts on vellum, as they have done for century after century. Also, the language of Christianity in Ethiopia, Giz, is a ancient language related to Syriac, and it's taught in the priesthood, and it has not changed.
And it has an alphabet that is distinctly Ethiopian.
That is correct.
It's interesting that this culture didn't spread to the neighbors of Ethiopia, mm-hmm. since it's so powerful,
Ethiopia. It is powerful. But yes, it remained. In a way, if you look at the map and imagine Ethiopia less as part of a continent than as a place connected to water, you can see its connectedness to the Eastern Mediterranean, to the Arabian Peninsula, and you get a sense, much like Egypt, in a way. You know, Egypt is both African and Mediterranean.
But it's interesting when you look at the compositions of these works, they do relate to medieval European art. These are not, on some level, these look like Africanized European medieval art, even though the tradition probably goes back earlier in some cases in Ethiopia.
Well, that's true. And, you know, when you say Africanized European art, in a way, the traditions of Ethiopia predate anything by which we could establish a benchmark of what African art is, with the exception of Egyptian art, of course.
The museum is going to host several events in conjunction with the exhibition, including two traditional coffee ceremonies. What's the significance of the coffee ceremony in Ethiopian culture?
Well, now I'm just learning something myself. I think I'm going to have to come to that program.
But I do know that Ethiopia is one of the great coffee producers of
Blue
the world.
Mountain
maybe
coffee,
the home of coffee, if I remember correctly. You can see a slideshow of this exhibit or some of the works from this exhibit on our website. And I guess there must be another one at the museum's website. I'm sure your museum has a fair number, and then the Museum of Biblical Art.
Right. So do go to our website also, and you'll see more of this wonderful art.
Will we be seeing some of the other medieval art that you have at the Walters?
Yes. We have quite a selection that we have on our web right now.
Is it difficult to collect it? Some museums, realizing that they could not compete with the big powerhouses, mm-hmm. the Met and the Smithsonian and others, decided to buy other kinds of art. So we've seen some very nice Egyptian collections, African collections at the Brooklyn Museum, for example. Mm-hmm. Was medieval art less expensive at one point?
Well, it's quite strange, or not strange, it's, I guess, only logical and sensible. The first exhibition of Ethiopian art was 1993. Virtually nobody in this country had seen this art before that time. And one major collection that went back to the 60s was made available in about 1995, 96, within about half a mile of where I'm sitting right now. And the dealer involved, who had helped us with the exhibition, was kind enough to call me before he went public. It was on the sixth floor of a Soho warehouse. And I went up there, and we had these little red stickers, and I went from one object to the next, and you know what I'm talking about, the kind that come on that tape stuff, and I just put these little red stickers on. I did not have the money to buy the material yet, but I wanted to reserve them, and it took me about 8 months to raise the cash. Some of these icons I purchased for $10,000. Now they're well over $100,000.
So I guess the next thing is to find another great tradition like the Ethiopian tradition.
Well, I doubt that I'll be lucky enough to find a second one of these opportunities in my life. But I'm very, very glad I did, because Ethiopian art deserves its place, and it's finding its place.
And listeners will have an opportunity to find out what we're talking about if they go to the Museum of Biblical Art. That's at 1865 Broadway at 61st Street, just north of Columbus Circle. You can give them a call at 212-408-1500 or visit MOBIA, Museum of Biblical Art, .org for more information. My great thanks to Dr. Gary Vikan, the director of the Walters Museum, for stopping by to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Leonard. ¶¶